the National Archives podcast series, Linked Data and the Step Change Project, Archive Authorities, AIM 25 and CALM, presented by Jeff Broll and Robert Baxter.
I'm Jeff and this is Robert, and we're here to talk about the work that we've done so far on linked data. So a little bit about what we're up to on this project. Well, it's a JISC-funded project, and it's running until the end of July this year, horrifically. And we've got a lot to do in this time. So we're bringing together several different partnerships to apply linked data to archive collections in order to connect through to other services and make our collections more widely available. That's the broad thrust of it. I represent AIM 25, so we have 12-year track record in London of bringing together collection-level descriptions of archives in the London area. We have 130 institutions that are part of the project now, and about 17,000 collection-level descriptions, and about 350,000 access points, so people, places, corporate names, and subject terms. So a lot of great metadata to work with. That's us, Robert.
Thank you, Jeff. And unusually for a HE project like this that involves JISC funding, we were, as a local authority, were invited to participate as well. So I think this is quite unusual, HE local authorities working together like this on a JISC-funded project. And we were chosen simply because of our previous links with AIM25. Myself, with having personally worked on AIM25, it wasn't so much that we were a shining example of a local authority. We're typical in some ways of a local authority archive service, and untypical in our structure, which is perhaps more like West Yorkshire in having a sort of a branch structure. But we have all those sort of usual problems and issues that local authorities face in terms of funding, in terms of training, in terms of how we get our data out there, in terms of data that we've created ourselves that's come in via legacy data, paper catalogues, A2A data, all those sorts of issues. We're a large county, but with having four offices, again, it's quite often difficult for us to work together. And the other thing I think that this project saw some value in was having a different sort of data contributor to work with in an important sector, an important part of what we all do. And also somewhere that wasn't London, that's as far as London as you could get. So there would be sort of different issues that we would face in terms of places and subjects and persons.
We're working with the University of London Computer Centre, our technical partners, and they've already worked with us for many years on developing projects. And to put this in context, AIM25 has been Google visible since Google began. So we've been right up there in terms of sharing information and sharing data, and it pays off because you get about 1.5 million hits a month. That's an awful lot. Axial is our other key partner on this project. They're the people behind CALM software, which has about 400 customers in the UK, archival customers. And so what this project is trying to do is take the linked data concept, which is part of the sort of semantic web that you might have heard of. So it's about really identifying entities, people, places, things, events, and the connections between them, defining those and establishing machine-readable ways of connecting them together.
I think I was just going to say about Axial, the other nice thing about this project was that it did allow us to work alongside a commercial player, and a very important commercial player as far as the UK archive sector goes. Neither Jeff or I have paid consultancies with Axial, unfortunately, so we've got no particular issue in promoting Axial or CALM. It's just that's a fact of life. We use CALM in Cumbria. A lot of local authorities use it, and also they have, with having 400-plus users in the UK, plus they're growing into the Scandinavian market, then they're cross-sectoral. The other good thing about them is that they've got quite a good national and regional user group, and also they have user groups working on specific parts of CALM. They all feed in enhancements to upgrades of CALM, so there was some structure there that we could possibly use as part of this project, so that it would be embedded in CALM for future upgrades.
That's right, yes, and we're also working with HistoryPin on this project, which many of you will be aware of, so pinning images up on global maps and attaching stories to them. And we'll talk a bit about that in a moment. StepChange builds on a previous exemplar project which you ran, which was just funded, called Open Metadata Pathway. And the basic understanding behind this project was that archivists are too busy, they haven't got the time, they haven't got the resources to really think about linked data and new advanced technologies in quite the way that they might like to. They simply haven't got the resources available. So if linked data and these approaches is going to be successful in the archive world, rather than just an add-on, which none of us can do, then we need to embed it in the cataloguing processes, into the daily routines and workflows of archivists, so that it becomes second nature. That's why involving CALM was so important, because if we can then upgrade CALM, get archivists to use CALM, which they do already, use it in a slightly different way and output the data as linked data, connect through to other services where people have done the same, then you can begin to connect the bits of the jigsaw together. Okay, so we wanted several gains out of this. So from the top, efficiency, really. So it's not just about discoverability and about ensuring that you can find collections and find the linkages between collections and the relationships between collections. And the power of linked data is that it enables you to sort of answer questions, not just cat sat and mat, but the cat sat on the mat, and you can ask, why did the cat sit on the mat? At the back end, it makes the process of indexing, it offers the opportunity to make that more efficient, and that's a really powerful gain and something that you can sell to senior managers, for example, to get them to support you.
The last three points there, we wanted to do some experimenting in seeing if we could make catalogues available that would link to other related services that users would find useful, and also that would be intuitive enough so that users could go straight to other parts of other web services that would be useful, that would make sense to them, and would be relevant. With this as well, linked data has potential to offer, you know, further links within institutions, particularly, we thought, within deeper research. So Jeff has suggested some from a university context where catalogues could link to further deeper research in social sciences, geography, medical history, epidemiology, these sorts of areas. And the last thing was being able to reuse catalogue data in ways that perhaps we as archivists haven't thought of. So these would be sort of mashups, but also, you know, the things that we thought straight away could potentially be used in parts of catalogue records with mapping or with links to historic film footage, archaeological data, sites and monuments records, finds records, those sorts of resources.
So it's linking between libraries, archives and museums and galleries, and it's linking out, and it's linking different media types, and it's doing lots of interesting stuff. So if you can factor in crowdsourcing as well, and you can get crowdsource communities to produce the linked data, then you get a multiplying effect. Okay, so there are several key objectives in this project, which hopefully will be very useful. One is to take the UK Archival Thesaurus and turn it into a linked data version and a live service. We're using the AIM25 version of UCAT, which isn't just the subject terms, it's the people and places and the corporate terms as well. So about 350,000 different terms. And that's going to be made freely available, and the work's already been done on that. The second piece of work is to develop a workflow tool, which we've dubbed AlleyCAT. So it's the archival linked data cataloguer. And AlleyCAT will, and we're working and perfecting that with archivists and user groups at the moment, so that we can get the best possible experience, so that archivists, when they're cataloguing or indexing, it becomes a natural part of their work, to process their catalog entries, generate this linked data output, and to do other interesting things with it. So that's what we're doing, those first two, Robert.
The other thing we wanted to look at was how we could implement some of these authorities as a web service within CALM, because as you who are CALM users will know, you can load up a version of UCAT in your terms database within CALM, but of course that is its own instance of UCAT. You can mess about and add more terms within there if you so want, but of course it's just your own version of that. Similarly, for your persons, places, if you're using those authority databases, those again are very much just your own. So, you know, all these sort of authority terms are siloed within your own instance of Calm. So again, we wanted to see how we could use live web versions of these within Calm. And the second thing there, HistoryPin, for those of you who are not familiar with this, this is a website that allows you to upload images and then connect them to Google Maps. Now, what we wanted to do was work with HistoryPin so that we could pull in images straight in from your version of Calm View, say if you're using that as your front end to Calm, but also pull in catalogue data connected to Google mapping on the HistoryPin website. So in effect, your catalogue is giving you extra contextual information when somebody is looking at images on that mapping website.
Yeah, that's particularly important because if you're zooming into a neighbourhood and most of the preparatory work's been done on that part of the project, you'll see an extra tab that will say something like view this extra contextual information, extra scope and content. But that throws up lots of issues which we're going to come to in the challenges in just a moment. Okay, well, just a few screenshots here about our ideas for what we can do. This is one of our records that I picked up from AIM25 about Hampton Wick. So this is a church, it's a parish. So there's the familiar aspects of ISADG here, which people are familiar with, admin, biographical scope and content, access terms on the right-hand side there. Okay, so this is a HistoryPin image here of the Hampton area, Ravens 8. I wasn't able to find exactly the picture I wanted. And that's another issue, actually, is how far you can actually marry up the data if you've got these kind of disjunctures. So that's that one. I brought up a relevant record from the British History Online, Victoria County History, so there's information there from parish registers and so forth for that area. And I also brought up the Clergy of the Church of England database so that you could look up the list of rectors or whatever for the parish church. So here you might begin to think about how, and this is a crude screen grab type of way of representing it, and we're not graphic designers, unfortunately, and the work hasn't been completed yet. Of being able to view in AIM25, and people will by the end of July see this, so it's an AIM25 record with extra information being pulled in from relevant services, really not from the clergy project, unfortunately, yet, but hopefully from several other projects that are taking part. Robert's going to describe one or two of those now.
Yeah, so I mean, the Calm sort of viewpoint of this would be you're working away in Calm, this is your sort of back office, your database here, I mean the catalogue database, and the tools to sort of parse the catalogue record and flag up potential linked data terms for you to link to would come up here at this point. And we'll find out a bit more about this when we meet with Axial next week, how far they've got. And here I've brought up, I've been linking here to that catalogue record to a place authority that I've made, and this is where we'd want to be putting in that data that would be able that would then link to maps. So part of that actual development will be also implementing this sort of work in the place authority records so that it can be linked to, you know, it will provide the necessary mapping to digital mapping. So just to sort of illustrate, this is the front end. Once the catalogue record is sort of put out in our Calm View catalogue, so I've chosen this. This is a deed from Wabberthwaite, which is significant in that it's the place where Cumberland sausages apparently originate from. And once we do a bit more work on that, here I've just, you know, we do have some place indexes, and you can click on the place index authority, but it's certainly not good enough to use as people coming in straight into the catalogue. You can navigate around our catalogue, but the indexing is just not good enough to use, and it's not extensive enough. And of course, this is an issue that a lot of us face. So again, going back to this, again, using... This isn't web development, this is simply using PowerPoint and doing some screen grabs, but it's just trying to illustrate what potentially could be done. So you know, flagging up manorial documents register entry to Wobbathwaite, National Register of Archives for the Pennington family of Muncaster, who are the local lords of the manor, and History Pin, again, flagging that up as a possible resource so you could go to Wobbathwaite or somewhere roundabouts there. So again, that would hopefully, the manorial documents register would take you at the right place for the manor of Wobbathwaite and lead you to that record there or similar records. NRA would take you into the entries for the Pennington family so you could see where else those their records are held. And History Pin would take you here. I've chosen somewhere that's not that's about as near as we can get to Wobbathwaite with some images in there. It's not very extensive for Cumbria. But there, if we click on an image, we'll bring up the image, and there I've just put in the catalogue record, and again that would be illustrative of what History Pin are working on, so that you've got some extra contextual information about that place.
Yeah, there'll actually be a tab here in the designs that will have information about the local area. It's very difficult to find information that's specific enough to the exact pinning bit, so there's a big piece of work there. That's all to do with anyone who works with geolocations and so on. It faces this problem. Okay, so there are a number of challenges which we face and which we are the ones that we face in future. We've still got to enjoy in the coming months.
Place names. One of the projects that's sort of happening in tandem with this, which will be very useful, is that another DISC project is digitising the volumes of the English place name surveys. Again, DISC funded, and it's based at King's College. So what we're hoping to do is get the volumes for Cumberland and Westmorland done as quickly as possible so that we can actually use those. And those basically give us very, very good place name gazetteers, essentially, as those of you who've looked at those, with places over time as well, and all sorts of variations of place names. So that's all information that we can potentially use as part of this, linking to particular digital maps. One of the other major problems with these is, of course, is there's so many standards and so many resources available for place names. History Pin, of course, relies on modern mapping, geo names, Vision of Britain. So these are all things that we need to experiment with.
Yeah, and that is a big challenge that we're going to have to face. It's the old and new names is a big challenge, because I think with English place names, you obviously are dealing with a lot of antique names, and how those match across to the modern names is a big challenge. Probably the next few points are concerned really with some of the technical aspects. The URI vocabularies work is very important. So this is about the little bits of coding that go in there that enable machines to understand the linked data, into a better phrase. And at the moment, what we're doing in the archives, libraries and museums world is really we're at the stage of defining what those should be and the kind of questions that we need to ask. And as part of this project, our ULCC colleagues have created a new wiki, and there'll be a call going out to the whole wider community, domain community, about the type of questions which people are faced with and need to answer. Those will help define what those vocabularies will be so that we can start linking the different bits of the sectors together. Dealing with proprietary systems, obviously there are EAD issues in terms of the length of EAD that's generated, for example. And APIs, we heard with Joy earlier from IMAS about the issues concerning APIs and how you can make information readily available between services. That's a big challenge. What happens if a service goes down, etc.? So there has to be resilience in there.
And just that last point about, of course, something like linked data exposes catalogue data, the paucity of value or, you know, its richness once it's divorced from its context, once it's been reused. So again, that's a big challenge to how we look at, you know, our catalogues and make sure that they have sufficient quality to be reused in all these different ways.
And it really does throw up a whole set of issues there, because people can see that the data's not up to scratch. They can see where there are issues and problems with their original indexing. Maybe they didn't have any of it. Maybe they have now got it. It's not up to scratch. So there are issues there with throwing up the funding issues about what you do with catalogues that are not up to scratch. Okay, so on to the final one now. We're running out of time. So
next steps, meeting with Axial next week, where we'll look to see how far they've got with the development. So it's going to be an intense period of activity the next few weeks to actually get the development right, and then we can actually start using this in CALM. The idea being that we can potentially use these tools in the next upgrade of CALM once we've had a bit more user evaluation. I'm not sure where we'll be with CalmView. The next version of CalmView was supposed to be out at the end of January, and obviously there need to be some work as well in CalmView to make these available, so that could be for a future release of CalmView.
Yeah, and obviously there are issues such as rights and training and so on that we do have to overcome, and the user experience, because there's a danger of overloading people with too much information. And part of this user testing phase in the next few months will be working out what level of information is enough information for the different user communities and audiences. So a local record office community will be different from a higher education perhaps, or there's a...
So some of the user group will be the regional CALM user groups, Northwest and in London, and also we'll be using some user feedback from our friends and from the VCH in Cumbria as well.
That's right. And so all this is... We're building some of the infrastructure. It's dependent on other people developing their own services and then for them to be able to be connected together. So that's the next part of the roadmap in terms of where we're going as a sector, and bringing in the BBC and the other players as well who are involved. And I think we've heard on other projects about some of the other aspects that are going on with World War One aggregation. Trenches to Triples is one of the projects that we're running alongside this, to do with obviously World War One related. It's also about accessing digital asset management system metadata and then being able to output that as linked data and link that in so you can get the pictures beginning to come through too.
This event was recorded live on the 21st of March 2012 as part of the Archives Discovery Forum 2012 at the National Archives, Kew. This podcast is copyrighted to the National Archives. All rights reserved.